Okay, James 1, all right, verses 1 through 18. And again, we're going to talk about temptation and how do we get through temptation? How do we endure temptation? Because temptation's surely going to come because we're human. It's just what happens. But starting in chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 18. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of the low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And ending on a good note, saying that we are the first fruit of his creatures, that there is something in us that is beyond ourselves that enables us to endure temptations. But I hate temptation. I don't know about you, but I hate it. And the reason I hate it is because every time I'm in a temptation, I always feel like I'm going to fail. Like, I surely can't make it through, Lord. I'm going to fail. I'm going to be a failure. Then what's going to happen to me? What's everyone going to think of me? Or better yet, Lord, what are you going to think of me now that I have failed temptation? And those thoughts go through my mind. And it's almost like, my wife calls it the automatic failure syndrome. You know, we get into that cycle where we feel like we're a failure at everything we do. And surely in temptation, we feel the same way. You know, that I'm going to fail. And then what's that going to mean for me? You know, what's everyone going to look at me like because I failed a temptation? But I hate temptation. And not only do I hate temptation, but I hate the idea of temptation. I hate the fact that it's even in the Bible. You know, why does it have to happen? Why do we need temptation? Because that's what James calls it. And if you go to the NIV or you go to some of the other versions, you're going to see it be called trials. And I think trials has a completely different connotation. You know, people go through trials as, you know, time trials. They go, you know, they run a race, and it's like, how fast can you go? And there's a okay, you did great, you finished before that guy, and there's some competition to trials. But temptations, I think, is a better word, because we have forgotten temptation in the world. We have forgotten that the fight isn't against us just going through hardship and us getting crashed on a ship or us stubbing our toe, but the temptation specifically is the fight that we go through, because Satan wants to trip us up with temptation so we think that we're failures. That's the whole idea. But God is instilling in us the ability to overcome temptation to sin. We don't want to sin naturally, but that's the fight in the world, is getting through temptation. James, he says about temptation that we are all tempted to sin. And he's specifically saying that in this life, we're going to encounter temptation, but we don't always have to fail. And there's a point that goes beyond that. It says even when we do fail, there's victory. But we're going to look at that. But God is building in us a faith that sometimes we don't even realize that we have. We don't even realize it's a part of our life. But he's using a temptation to bring out what he has placed in you. And so many times we go into a temptation and we fail in temptation and we think, that's it, Lord. I failed. I'm no good. I didn't study enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I didn't do enough amens this morning, and so I failed, Lord. And that kind of is the pattern that we go in. We cycle through, and then we think, I'm going to do better tomorrow, Lord, and I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to get up earlier. Matter of fact, I'm going to get up at 3:30, Lord, and I'm going to be so exhausted by 9 o'clock. I'm going to be ready for a nap because I tried so hard. And we kind of go through that cycle, you know, thinking we're going to do better. We're going to do better. But I'm going to let you know that's not a part of the faith that he's building in you. Because it's not so much what you do, it's what he's created you to be that's going to overcome temptation. And we have that faith through Jesus Christ, and you hear that. But only in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ living in you or can you get through temptation. But through him, we truly can experience victory, not victory to go and have a gold banner or have money in the bank, but victory over the temptations that come to us day in, day out, minute in, minute out, hour in, hour out. He gives us the ability to overcome temptation through himself. And we can experience that victory. And when we experience the victory, when we find out what's in us, that he has placed in us, then what we do is we develop spiritual maturity through it. So we want to see ourselves endure temptation and come out on the other side and realize, wait a minute, there's something in me that I didn't realize was even in myself. And I think sometimes God will take us through temptation, not to make you fall flat on your face, but he'll take you through temptation because he wants you to know what he has placed in you, not what you have developed in yourself. And I think that's the big difference, is we need to see what God has placed in us, not what we have developed in ourselves. Because we can't. Only through the Holy Spirit and only through his redemption and regeneration can he develop those things in us. But through him, we can experience victory. In order to do this, we're going to talk about four things this morning. And those four things are to count everything, to know, to let him, and to ask him. And so the four things, they correlate into these. Count, as in James says, count it all joy. And he doesn't say count it all joy when you fall into trials, when you're getting an accident in your car, you know. I mean, yeah, sure, you can still have joy, but hey, James is specifically talking about temptation. So count it all joy when you encounter temptation. Don't act like it's something strange that's come on you. But realize that it is part of the human life that you're going through temptation. Maintain a joyful attitude. The second thing is to know, is to have an understanding mind. And that understanding mind knows who God truly is through the temptation. We know who we truly are, but we know who God truly is, and that matters more. Third thing is to let God. And basically, it's saying have a surrendered will to God and his word. Surrender your will. Because when your will is surrendered and you go through temptation, you have more of an ability to overcome and not fail in the temptation because you have a surrendered will to God. And the fourth thing is ask, is to maintain a heart that wants to believe in faith, to ask God for anything that you ask, and he'll give it for you, to you. He'll give it to you. And, you know, James talks about the most important thing to ask God for. It's not money. It's not, you know, Lord, just get me out of the temptation, because it normally doesn't work because we know we're in it and we're supposed to be in it. So you can't say, you know, Lord, just get me out of it. But what you can do is you can say, Lord, I'm in the temptation. It's part of human life. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to get through the temptation. But the first thing he says is count it all joy. And don't we hate that scripture, you know, count it all joy. And you're like, yeah, right. You feel like you've been beat up 1,500 times to Sunday and you can't make it anymore and you're not good enough and all the things that come to our minds. And how am I possibly going to count it all joy when I'm ravaged like this? When things aren't going the way I thought they would go? How do I do it? And the first thing that we're told is to expect temptations. If we don't expect temptations, then you're never going to overcome temptation. Because you're going to see it as some strange thing that has overtaken you that is foreign to you. Somebody else might be going through it. But I'm just living a life, and why is everything not going okay for me? Many people don't expect temptation. Matter of fact, we don't talk about temptation too much anymore. When's the last time you heard a sermon about temptation? I can't tell you. But we know that temptation is a fact of life. And when we understand that, going into the temptation, we can understand what we're in, that it's normal, that it's something that we can expect. If you don't expect it, it's going to creep up on you. So when we have an expectant mind, when we count it all joy and say, this is what I'm in, Lord, you have placed me here. You didn't place me here alone, but you placed me in temptation because you wanted to show me who you are in my life. So we expect temptation. We're able to have more joy because we understand temptation is a part of life. The question isn't if temptation comes your way, but the question is when temptation comes your way, because it's going to come. It's probably going to come more than you even realize it's coming. But we're better when we expect it. Some temptations come just because we're human, and we understand those are things that try to deviate our faith a little bit. You know, problems that happen, you know, paying the bills doesn't happen so easily, doing simple things like that. Those are normal things that happen to everybody. You know, Christian or non-Christian, people go through those things. So those are a type of temptation. But other temptations, we could call those more trials. But other temptations come because we're Christian. Satan fights against us. Our desires deceive us. The enemy plays with our mind. We listen. The world opposes us. And it makes life a battle. Those are temptations to get us to fall outside of the parameter of what the Word of God tells us that we are, who we are. Those are temptations. James 1:2, it says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And when he says fall into, he doesn't mean that you're walking along the street and there's just a hole, you know, and you didn't see it and you stub your toe. It wasn't something that just sprang up on you, is what he's saying. That's not the way it's worded, really. What it means is count it all joy when you encounter temptations, when you come across, when you see them, when it happens in your life, count it all joy. And so we need to understand that temptations aren't an accident. They're not an accident, but they have a purpose, that everything has a purpose. When we don't understand what Romans says, when it says every good thing comes from God, every good thing, then we start to question God. We start to say, God, why did you do this to me? It's your fault. Lord, you planned this for my failure. Why do you keep doing this to me, Lord? We have that mindset. But when we understand that all things work together for good, then we have a different view of what's happening in our lives. We're able to have more joy because we see temptations are just a part of life that God is taking us through. But every temptation that we come across has a purpose. And so with that purpose, we have to understand it, but we are able to count it all joy because we see the purpose that it's working in our lives, and it's working for good in our lives. It's hard to see the good that's being worked in our lives when we are in temptation. It's hard. Because all you can see when you're in temptation is your failure. You can't see God's goodness. It's hard to see God's greatness. It's hard to see God's responsibility for bringing you through the temptation. All you see is your failure and temptation. But when we understand that the temptations are allowed by God to bring out the faith that he has placed in you, you're able to count it all joy because he's right with you. You understand that. He's bringing all things together for good in your life through even temptations. So we're going to experience temptations, and you do have those people that, you know, they just smile, you know, they gets hit in the face and you just smile, nothing's happening to me, you know, I'm okay, you know, those people. And, you know, no one said you had to smile and grin and bear it, but what they're trying to tell you is you can still have joy. You know, it's not that you want to deny the fact that you're in pain. You know, Lord, I'm struggling right now. Lord, I know your word tells me all things work together for good. Lord, I know your word tells me that you're going to show what you've placed in me through the temptation, but Lord, this hurts. And I think sometimes in the world even, we've gotten to a place where we don't want to admit hurt because we don't want to appear weak. We don't want to appear less than. And so we just deny what we're going through. But if we would just admit, man, I am struggling right now. You know, this is what I'm struggling with, brother. This is what I'm struggling with, sister. You know, because there's no, you know, high and low in the church. We're all just, you know, here. So if we would just say, you know what, I am struggling right now. And the understanding is you might be too. Because we're all going through temptations varied in our life today. So it's easier when we know that to come to each other and go, you know what, I am struggling. I am hurting right now. I know God's good. I know he's bringing this for my good. I know he's showing his faith in me. But man, I'm struggling and I'm hurting. And how easy would that be? And your brother or sister comes alongside of you and says, I know what you're talking about, and I just want to pray with you. And man, I'm going to keep praying with you. And the strength comes because you have voiced what you're going through. And you're able to have joy because you haven't been singled out. You haven't been isolated. But you shared it with your brother or your sister who also is experiencing temptation, because sometimes temptation can be tough, but it's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit it. Sometimes I fake it. I fake it and I act like it's not happening. My wife is a good one to come to me and go, is something wrong with you? And I'll go, no, I'm good. Okay, everything's great. You know, and I have that, you know, face, you know, and then, you know, secretly I'm like, you know, punching myself in the bathroom or whatever. And she comes out, and are you sure you're okay? And my eye's all bloody. No, I'm great. I'm absolutely awesome. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to do everything I need to do. And, you know, I fake it. And then what I do is I end up suppressing my own feelings. And then later on, it comes out in some other ways. You know, my kids are doing something, and I lash out at them. And I'm like, man, if I just shut up and if I just tell them, you know, I'm struggling right now. You know, the idea isn't to tear you down. The idea is to build up that greater faith in you and get through the temptation sometimes with help. But if we'd acknowledge it, things would go a lot easier. But we're able, when we do that, to have joy. To have joy. So we're going to go through temptations. But if we evaluate those temptations by what God is doing, it'll be a lot easier for us. Don't evaluate temptation by whether you pass or fail. Don't evaluate temptation by whether you pass or fail. Evaluate temptation by what God is bringing to light in you that he has placed in you. It puts a totally different spin on it. It puts a totally different spin on it. Understand that through temptation, that God is on your side. That in when you're going through temptation, God isn't over there going, you know what, you screwed up this time, and man, I'm not going to give you money for bills next month. You're cut off. You know what I mean? That's not the Lord. You know, we may experience struggle because in the temptation, and maybe it's something that we've dealt with for so long, we may struggle with bills. But that doesn't mean God is against us. God is on our side. And he's right there picking you up, going, trust in me. Count on me. I'm with you. I'm for you. You can pass this test because I have placed the ability to pass the test in you. But look to what I've placed in you and not to yourself. God is on your side. So understand that through temptation. You know, we look at Paul and everything that he went through, you kind of scratch your head and say, how did he do it? How was he able to? And the way he was able to was he let everything go in his life except for the value of what Jesus Christ was to him. And that was the only way he could do it. Paul couldn't do it in himself. Matter of fact, he said, of all the sinners, I'm chiefest. You probably heard him say, you know, read that. Of all the sinners, I'm chief. That he is more sinful than any person he's come across in his own mind. But Paul was able to reevaluate his life in Christ. He was able to set new goals and priorities in Christ. And those things that were once important to Paul, his stature, his status as a Pharisee, his life, probably he was married, that scholars say, all those things that were important to him and that Satan could use to tempt him and take away and to entice him, he said, those are garbage to me now. And so some of the things that were used to tempt were taken away. And Paul said, from now on, Christ is at the center of my life. And nothing is to be compared to the experience that I've had in Jesus Christ. And when he struggled, he admitted it. He said, I've been shipwrecked. He said, I've been, you know, beat up. He said, I've been, you know, almost killed, you know, beaten with 40 stripes, 39 stripes, save one, whatever it was. But he admitted, I've gone through pain. I've gone through pain. And sometimes we need to admit that as well. But I wonder sometimes in myself, am I holding on to things that I have no business holding on to anymore? Do I make it more difficult for myself when I go through these temptations because my priority is in the wrong place? You know, am I holding on to stuff that I shouldn't be holding on to? Job 23:10, it says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. So the trying, The temptation is to bring out in you this crucible. The crucible was the place where the refiner put the metal, the gold, or the silver in the furnace, and all the dross was burnt up. And what remained was the pure gold and the pure silver. And so when he took it out of the furnace, what he had was a pure vessel. And what we need to see is that when we go through temptations, it's not to point out the dross. It's not to go, look at the dross. Look how bad that dross is. It's bad. But it's to refine it. And so when it comes out, it's gold. And you've got something that you didn't even know you had in yourself. All you can see is the dross. You can't see the silver and you can't see the gold. But that's what God sees. And that's why he's putting you in the furnace. Because he wants you to see it too. He wants you to understand what's in you. That you have gold, you're being refined. And there's a process to it. So understand the process. The purpose in temptation is we're to count it all joy because God is working something in our lives. And he's trying to show us who even we are in him. We don't know it. Sometimes we don't know it. But we can have victory through Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we already have victory in Jesus Christ. But we just need to understand it and we need to apply it. We need to apply it to our minds as well. So we count it all joy. Second thing is we need to know. We need to have an understanding mind. And what is it that Christians can know to make it easier to face temptations and benefit from them? Because as believers, we're supposed to be people of faith. And so James, in the middle of all this, saying you're going to go through temptations, but have faith. You know, when you ask and you pray, have faith. Don't be wavering. And we've come to understand this as we're asking for things, especially when you're going to do something for the Lord. When you do it in your own strength, everything seems to go wrong. But when you resign yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to have to go and get up on before people. I'm going to have to preach your word. I'm going to have to do this or that. I'm going to have to counsel somebody. I'm going to go have to share my faith. And if you do it on your own, you fall flat. But when you ask in faith, believing the Lord has already done it, it is done for you. And one of the things that James says when we're going through temptation is simply ask for wisdom. And not only do you ask for wisdom, but ask for wisdom believing the Lord has given it to you. Don't be like someone who's tossed in the sea, to and fro. But say, Lord, I am going through temptation. That's the first thing. I'm going through temptation. And the second thing is, Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom, and I believe you've given it to me to get through it. Because that's an important part of asking for wisdom and praying, is believing you have it. Because when you believe you have it, by faith, you receive it. I'm not saying name it and claim it. I want that car, Lord, and I believe that you've given it to me. And my sister used to do that. My sister called me up when I was a kid, and she led me to the Lord in salvation. I think I was 12. And my life changed after I was saved. But my sister was one of those ones that she'd also, and Cindy, I love you if you're going to watch this video. But she used to say, and she would correct herself now, but she'd go, oh, man, I saw a blue dress, and I'm just claiming that blue dress by faith. She's one of those, you know, and I'm like, nah, that's not quite what the Lord had in mind. I think he was saying, you know, ask for eternal things. Ask for wisdom. Ask for faith. Ask for those type of things and to believe that you have it and you will receive those things. You will have wisdom because you asked in faith. And that's what James is saying. Ask in faith. He says, no, have an understanding mind. Be people of faith. And the thing about faith is it's always tested. And what we need to realize is that God tests us to bring out our best. And our best is him. So God tests us to bring out our best. Satan tempts us to bring out our worst. So two things. God tests us to bring out our best. And our best is him. Satan tempts us to bring out our worst. But it still draws. Testing reveals what God has done in us. And I think that the testing is more for us than it is for God. Because he tests us so we can see what he's done in us, not what we've done in ourselves. More than what we think we've done for ourselves or how good we are, we see how God is good in us and what he's done in us. But testing of our faith proves that we're truly born again and we're his. You say, well, I've gone through this temptation and I failed miserably. But the test wasn't about you seeing your failure. The test was ultimately about you seeing that you're born again and that you're truly his. Because if you weren't tempted and you weren't conscious of the temptation, then maybe you wouldn't be truly his. So the temptation is a verification that you are his. You're born again. And there's an assurance that comes with this. Because when you know that, then you know, I can make it through the temptation because I'm His. That was His work, is getting you through the temptation. The work of getting you prepared is God's work. What is your part? You're saying, surely there's a part for me, and you're right, there is. You need to cooperate with the work that God is doing to get you ready for the temptation. 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So it works in us more than what we could even imagine. And it's light compared to what we have coming to us. Understand what temptation is for. It's not to prove you're a failure. It's to prove whose you are and what God has placed in you. It's not to show your failure. The next command is let. And this is going to be short, but it's going to be simple. Let God have His will in your life. It's a surrendered will. We have to surrender our will to the Lord because God can't build character without our cooperation. That's our part, is to cooperate with what God is doing. If we resist Him and we don't cooperate, you're still His. And what will happen is He'll just discipline you until you submit. So I don't really want to go through the disciplinary process. I just want to submit. Lord, let me submit and not fight you the whole way. But if we submit to Him, He is able to accomplish His work in us more easily. And I believe faster. But God's goal for our lives is maturity. But God can work great things through us, I wrote, but we will have to let Him. He can't do it without our consent. We must surrender our will. The mature person does not argue with God's will. Instead, he obeys it joyfully. I think one of the hardest things in the USA, the good old US of A, is submission. We don't get it. And we don't want to do it. And I think from the time that the Revolutionary War started, we have been kind of based in rebellion a little bit. We haven't understood that submission doesn't mean weakness. Jesus Christ was submitted. He was meek, but He wasn't weak. And I think sometimes we get this wrong in our minds. We have become a people that is like, I'm not bowing down to anybody. I'm doing things my way. I'm going to take care of my bills my way. It's my house. It's my family. And we've gotten to that culture in America, I believe. But God is calling us to a place of submission where we lay it down. We believe His word just because it's His word. Sometimes we come across things and I can't do that. And we hedge on it. We say, no, I can't do that, Lord. I'll never be able to. And it's an act of the will to say, Lord, I'm laying this down. Every argument I have against You, I'm laying it down because in Your word it says to do, so I am simply going to do. It's an element of submission that we've missed. Everything in our culture points to not submitting. Our music does, our movies do. Everything that's around us points to don't submit to anybody. Be rebellious, be your own person. But God here is saying, just submit to Me. Submit to My will. Make My will yours. And see how much easier it becomes when we do that. One of the most hated words in the American vernacular is the word submit. But oh, what joy you miss out on when you don't. When you don't. So let him just submit. And finally, the last thing, and we'll close here in a minute, is just ask with a believing heart. When we go through difficulties, what do we ask for? And we talked about it. We ask for wisdom. And not only does He tell you what to ask for, but He tells you how to ask. He says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, ask for wisdom, believing that God has already answered your prayer. Believe you have God's wisdom, because God wants you to overcome temptation. And know this, that God's investment in you is bigger than your investment in yourself. Do you guys get that? God's investment in you is way bigger than your investment in yourself. We're not self-made men and women. God has an investment in you. He regenerated your spirit when you were born again. He's not going to put money in your bank and then say, I made a deposit and I'm just going to get rid of that because that's no good. He won't do it. His money that He put in your bank is eternal, and He's never going to push it away and say, well, that doesn't work anymore. That's a write-off for me. You know, I'm going to write that off my taxes because that just didn't work out. He has made an investment in your bank. He's regenerated your spirit, So it's his responsibility to keep that investment. He'll never let it go. And his investment in you is bigger than your own investment in yourself. And so he has a responsibility to ensure that you are victorious through your temptation. He wants you to realize what he's made you to be, not what you've made yourself to be. So what is the reward for enduring temptation? Because we are able to endure it. We just don't get it yet sometimes. James 1:12, it says this. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So we will receive the crown of life. That's not the crown of salvation. That is the crown of life that he guarantees for us when we endure temptation. If you're saved, you have everything you need through Christ to have victory. I'm going to end with this story, and we can go. It's a really simple story, but it goes. It's about a couple, married couple, and they took this cruise to Alaska, and on the second night of the cruise, the seas got really rough, and the ship was tossing to and fro, and people were all over the place. You know, the dining room, you know, they're going from one place to the other. You know, they couldn't keep their feet stable underneath them. And the wife and the husband went back to their cabin. And she was getting really upset by everything that was going on. And she said to her husband, "Why would the captain of the ship, with all this technology he has, not know that we're headed for this storm and wait before we went ahead? I'm going to give him a piece of my Christian mind." And so she picked up the ship phone, and she demanded to speak to the captain. And the lady on the other end says, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't let you speak to the captain." But she promised she'd send back a message from the wife to the captain pertaining to the storm. And the message said two things from the captain back to the wife after she left her complaint. He said this. He said, number one, he said, "Lady," he said, "lay down in bed and go to sleep, because I'm going to stay up. I'll be at the helm while you sleep. There's no need for both of us to stay up. So you sleep, and I will stay up." The second thing he said was, "Lady, this ship was built with these kind of storms in mind. This ship is seaworthy, so you go to bed." So the man and his wife went to bed. They fell asleep. And when they woke up, everything was calm. There was no storm. There was no rain. There was no wind. There was no shaking. There was no rocking. So when you go through the storms of life, God is saying to you, "You sleep now, and you let me worry about the storm." Understand the storm you're in, but understand that he is the captain of the storm. This ship is seaworthy. This ship is built with these kind of storms in mind. Sometimes we think we can't make it through the storm, we can't make it through the temptation, but understand that you have been built with those kind of storms in mind. The ship is seaworthy. So when you're down in your storm, go ahead and call the captain. Let him tell you that all is well, no matter how things look. And then just give glory to God in all things. Understand that God hasn't left you in your temptation. He hasn't left you in your sin. Realize that God hasn't decided to come against you because you may have failed the temptation. Know that God has equipped you to overcome the temptation. And the equipping has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And don't say, I don't feel like I can overcome. I don't feel like Jesus is with me. Because if we go on feelings, then we got a lot of problems. And we will have a lot of problems. But understand that he has equipped you, whether you feel like it or not. He has equipped you to overcome temptation. Maybe it's time that you surrender something. Maybe it's time that you surrender your will. And say, "Lord, I keep hanging on to my will, and I insist on my will. And maybe today is the day I need to lay my will down and just accept yours. Maybe I've got to quit fighting you, Lord." He can get you through any temptation. But you have to decide, "I'm going to count it joy. I'm going to know what I'm in and understand where he's put me. That is part of the process. I'm going to let him have his way in my life, and I'm going to ask him for wisdom and faith." When's the last time you asked him in the middle of your temptation, "Lord, give me wisdom to get through it," and then believing it, receive it, that you've got the wisdom you need? When's the last time you laid down your will and said, "Lord, I'm done. I'm done having my way. Father,
I want your way in my life. Will you stand with me?